Is it President Putin, not President Trump, convincing European allies to spend more on the military? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news President Trump has sent edgy letters to European allies saying they don't spend enough on their military budgets. The New York Times today says Germany, Belgium, Norway, and Canada are among the countries to get, quote, sharply worded communications about the U.S. losing patience on this. This is ahead of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization meeting next week, the NATO summit. For context, I spoke to Douglas Lute, U.S. ambassador to NATO during the Obama administration, who was also a senior military advisor to George W. Bush.
So I was in Europe over the last 2 weeks and spoke to a number of allied leaders, including a stop at NATO headquarters itself, where the summit will be held. And there's a good deal of anxiety based on the outcome and the atmospherics of the G7 meeting, and a concern that that might be replayed in Brussels with the president there. And of course, that is a fundamental concern for NATO, because these NATO summits only happen about once every 2 years. And there really is only one deliverable, one output that's required: unity, alliance, solidarity. And of course, we didn't get that picture coming out of the G7.
Yeah, the president didn't sign that final accord. But NATO is about military, strategic matters. That's a different kettle of fish than a trade negotiation. We can't separate those two?
Well, you're right. It is different. NATO is fundamentally a commitment of by all to defend all. So an attack on one is an attack on all. But it's important to know that the 29 members of NATO are also knitted together economically and politically. So while NATO itself is primarily the military arm of the alliance, there are economic and political dimensions as well. And those are very, very important and I think are under challenge today.
Some of the European allies are not, in the Trump administration's view and others' view, paying their fair share.
And my view too.
Yeah.
I think this is widely held. And by the way, this is a longstanding bipartisan problem between the U.S. and some of its European allies. But there's a way to do that, and then there's another way to do that.
President Trump's criticism of the amount of money that some of the European allies are kicking into NATO seems to have paid off. Some of the countries have actually upped their commitment. So would you say that some of Trump's intensity has paid off?
Well, it's important here to put this in a broader context. First of all, the most recent pledge by the, at that time, 28 allies to strive to attain 2% of their GDP devoted to defense budgets. So that's where this famous 2% pledge comes from. Was made in 2014. Why 2014? Because in the first half of 2014, Vladimir Putin seized Crimea, the sovereign piece of another country, Ukraine, and then destabilized the Donbas in eastern Ukraine and essentially broke all the rules. So if anybody is to be credited with increasing defense spending in among European allies, it's probably not Barack Obama. It's probably not Donald Trump. It's probably Vladimir Putin. And the good news here actually is that there is now a four-year pattern of change behavior. So for the last 4 years, we have seen real increases in European defense spending, so set aside U.S. defense spending. They total $87 billion additional dollars. That's real money. I think the president, the current president, can take some credit for that, but I think it also drives deeper than that, and it really drives to the increased sense of insecurity that our European allies feel.
Douglas Lute was U.S. ambassador to NATO during the Obama administration and was a senior military advisor to George W. Bush. Ambassador Lute, thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
We spoke at the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado. Now to grade inflation on Wall Street. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that Federal Reserve regulators last month were about to flunk Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley on a portion of the stress tests. That would have meant the powerful financial service companies would have had to cut payouts to shareholders. Instead, according to the paper, the Fed offered Goldman and Morgan Stanley a deal. Freeze your shareholder payouts at present levels and we won't flunk you on the stress test. This may be unprecedented in the 8 years the government's been doing the stress tests. A Trump appointee now runs this part of the Fed. In addition to helping shareholders, the leniency could boost compensation to both the CEOs of each company. Stress tests were put in after the great financial crisis to lower the chance of a future government bailout of banks that get into trouble. Let's do today's numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 5/10%. Dow, S&P, NASDAQ futures also up 5/10%. Stock in the huge mining company Glencore is down 9% in London now. This is after the U.S. Justice Department ordered Glencore to turn over documents in a foreign bribery money laundering investigation. The probe involves Glencore's dealings in Congo, Nigeria, and Venezuela. The company says it's reviewing the U.S. demand and will have a further reaction in due course. We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the business of animal rescue. More U.S. pets go missing around the 4th of July here than any other time. Dogs and cats freak at the fireworks. As Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, animal shelters are gearing up to handle the influx of runaways.
Scary fireworks aren't just a nightmare for pets on July 4th.
Here in the South, they start the week before and several days after the 4th.
Joy Harkelrode is the co-founder of Mercy Fund Animal Rescue in North Carolina. She just bought a microchip scanner to help match frightened dogs with their owners. It set her back around $300, which isn't nothing for a volunteer group.
We try to help provide shelter for animals that doesn't have shelter and all these things, so our money goes straight to that. No one gets paid.
At the Lucas County Shelter near Toledo, Ohio, Community Outreach Coordinator Laura Simmons-Wark says her shelter's been busy planning adoption events, all to free up space for the July 4th influx.
We're usually short-staffed anyway, so sometimes this time of the year we get a little bit burned out.
At her shelter, dog owners pay as much as $150 to get their dogs back. This year, the shelter's waiving that fee until July 9th to help dogs traumatized by bottle rockets and Roman candles get back home. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
I will say there were some fireworks where I live last night, but Dimitri in our household couldn't have been less interested. Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.